Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Oi, the boys on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes tales are quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jimmy,
JC.
It's so Craig's in Winnipeg, right? Is that where he is?
Yeah. I got to look it up. I got to see the temperature.
Did the Jets win last night, Dubs?
I have no idea.
No? The Leafs didn't, I know that much.
The Jets won 4-2 and are, in first place, 29-10-4.
Yeah, and they've been amazing.
Your Leafs lost, is this their fourth in a row?
In a row. That'd be fourth.
That's awesome. Yeah, you guys are great. Yeah.
But luckily, they just have Vancouver coming up shortly. And I think it's Calgary on Thursday. And then the Kraken. And then Winnipeg back-to-back, I believe. So, yay! Things are going well.
Really light portion of the schedule.
I tell you what, it's amazing with this team. And we'll relate it to soccer. Ebbs and flows in the season. We all know that, right? And you can get down and get high. Ebbs and flows in every season. But it seems with this particular team, the ebbs and flows, that there's more ebbs and more flows than any other team. It's literally week to week. Like they're at rock bottom for a week and then they'll bounce back and look incredible for a week and then rock bottom. It's just that consistency. How do you, as a professional athlete, maintain consistency? Because I don't get it. The teams I support, outside in fairness, Liverpool, don't have consistency. And as a fan, it drives me absolutely crazy.
And welcome to Footy Prime.
It's difficult. It's about balancing the day in, day out, the grind, the routine, whether that's your own personal one or within the team, but then also not getting too stuck on all of the details and making sure that you're looking long term. Because if you do that too much, then you take yourself out of it. You take yourself out of the present moment. But you have to be cognizant of what's on the horizon, of what's coming, the next challenges, the next things in front of you. But if you're not addressing what's right in front of you on the day-to-day, then that's where things sort of fall out of your grasp. You have to control what you can control. That's the most important thing. And it's cliched, and I know hockey is probably the worst sport for all of it, but it's never too high, never too low. Like you have to absolutely just hit the middle ground because you're not going to have your best night all the time, but you have to perform at your very best. Yeah.
In hockey compared to football, we complain about there being too much football, too many games, and there is physically, but hockey and other sports, there's so many, Jimmy. I mean, 82 games plus playoffs. You're going to have to try and, like Dub said there, keep your eye on what's straight ahead, but that's not easy. Isn't that the manager's job, though, to make sure his players are focused on that job? Even if, say, it's a winnable game and you got your arch rival coming up in 3 days' time, is it your job just to keep your focus? No, forget about what's happening next week. This is the next 90 minutes.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, you know, that's the million-dollar question is how do you get your team to perform the same week in and week out? and win matches. Now you got to realize throughout a season, you're going to go through a little spell. You're going to lose matches. I mean, there's been times where I remember playing and you prepare so well, you go into the match feeling great and you're down 3-0 after 20 minutes. And you're like, how the fuck did this just happen? Right. That and then sucks. there's other times where you feel terrible and you're like, oh my God, I feel like a bag of shit. And all of a sudden now you're up 2-0 after 20 minutes and you're like, how are we winning this match right now? We should be losing. But it's to be consistent is a lot of it's mental. It's mental. It's a mental preparation, making sure that you're ready, making sure that you're focused, your tactics are right. But there's going to be those little spells throughout the season where I think the manager knows himself. You know, you'll play a match and everything just goes wrong. And it's like, okay, let's forget about this and let's move on. Now we got to focus on the next match and get ourselves going again. And you can't dwell on it because you know you're going to go through those little spells throughout a season. All the clubs do. Look at Man City. Man City is one of the best teams in the world. And they've had that little spell, didn't they, where they lost a couple of matches and things weren't going well for them. But good teams find a way to win. And that's not just the staff. That's the players as well that know we're in a slump, but we're going to get out of this collectively.
Yeah, but beyond all of those factors, that's why it's critical to make sure that you have the team culture and the team mentality and the mindset established, and there's the buy-in. Yeah. I saw a great clip. It was like a reel on Instagram, and it was Nick Saban, who just retired. And he was talking about how mediocre people don't get along with high performers, and high performers don't get along with mediocre people. And it's impossible to build chemistry if you're trying to fuse both. It's impossible. And it's true, whether you're
talking... How do we get along, Doug?
we all shoot for the middle, Wonger. It's all mediocre here.
No, but we're the
it's
absolute...
It's consistent mediocrity.
Yes, we're the best at being mediocre.
But it's amazing. So true. I was literally just talking to Tony about this, about how, you know, it's easy to get in with people who are going to drag you down. You got to find those people that will elevate you. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's not necessarily a strategy in life. You know, I'm going to find people that elevate me today, but it's easy to find yourself, you know, suddenly, wow, there's a lot of negativity around me right now. Why the fuck is that?
And I find that searching for other people really disingenuous, that I'm going to surround myself. Mm-hmm. Look, you grow up with people, you make friends, be true to them. But obviously you don't want to be dragged down. Like sometimes you have to cut off friendships too. Right. If they're mm-hmm. dragging you down, sometimes you have to cut off appendage friends where you're like, I can't do that. And it can be in any situation where it's at work, where you're like, oh, I need to I want to be your friend, but you can't keep including me in this negativity. And you have to have a chat, and you have to be in good enough space and confident in yourself to have that conversation, because that's not an easy conversation either.
What They Do in the Shadows, that great vampire TV show, is fucking hilarious. And they have energy vampires. Mm. And this one guy, he's basically, he's an office worker. He's a typical cliched office worker. And he's just negative. And they'll walk into a room and they're all happy. And then he'll just start talking and just suck the energy, right? We all know those people, don't we? And they've got
and
to exist on football teams.
Always that person. Ooh. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's how do you deal with that? And then it goes back. I don't know if this is on the docket, Sharm. I might be fucking the rundown here, but you look at TFC and Herdman talking about Insigne and Bernadeschi and bringing them into the leadership group. I mean, yeah, you have to. I mean, they're guys that these youngsters and other guys coming up are probably looking at them initially with stars in their eyes, idolizing them, but then maybe you see how they go about their business and the stuff that's come out over the course of the season. Maybe they're not the guys that they should be looking to set standards. So maybe that's the solution though. You bring them into the leadership group and you expect more from them. Maybe they give you more, but maybe they don't.
Yeah. And what happens when they're not performing and they go on a losing streak? They'll just suck the life out of that leadership.
Are they both wah-wah babies a little bit? Both of them? They're fragile. And
but very dramatic, aren't they?
Well, I'm thinking this isn't a bad play though by Herdman, because it didn't work the other way by keeping them on the outside. So look, being adaptable, trying to change things up, I don't think he has another situation where he can go with these two. Leaving them on the outside and complaining about them doesn't do anything either. So you've got how many? $21.5 million on the docket with these two? 15, 6, and 5'8", so maybe 22 million. You've got to make this work.
I'm 5'8". Thank you, Wanger. Yeah.
You're 5'8", Amy?
I'm 5'8", yeah.
Okay,
sorry. I think, though, they were in the leadership group last year, though. I mean, Insigne did captain the team at times.
Yeah.
Last season, right? And like Dub says, I don't think he's got a choice. Whether they are here for the long term, and at the press conference this week, you know, he did raise some flags about how hard it's going to be to change this team on the pitch as far as personnel, given the cap situation. And he didn't say it, but the bottom line is that we've discussed it. These guys make a ton of money, as you mentioned there, Wanger. Not easy to move those contracts, right? So he might be stuck with them, in which case you have to try and elevate them, and you have to put them in a place to succeed. And guys making $21 million between them have to be in the leadership group, unfortunately, don't they? There's no alternative. And maybe it will elevate them. Maybe they will find themselves. He'll get the buy-in from these players that the previous two managers were unable to get. Maybe that's the I don't know. But I don't know what else. If Herbin kept them out of that group, then that's just admitting failure. And that's like, yeah, these guys are gone. And they might still be gone by the end of the window. I don't know.
But it's a big risk and it's a big ask. But I agree with you. He does not have a choice, really.
I don't think it's a risk, Amy.
Going back to these energy vampires, you know, and if you have a pie chart or you have like a spectrum of levels of suck, when you get to these two fucking Italians as part of your
Rhonda Brownlee, we need an infogram.
There is a fuck ton of suck that's coming out of that leadership group if it all goes wrong, let me tell you. It's like going to be a fucking black hole in Toronto.
What are the levels of suck? It's fuck ton being the biggest.
Right.
And then what? Shitloads down there.
Insidious probably exists sort of like beneath because that's always happening. I think minimal, you know, you have external or what would be suck would be like.
I think the
like
highest
the,
level.
The little attachment to clean the couch. That would be
your highest level of suck. If there was a nickname, I think I'd call it Dyson.
Yes, Amy. Okay.
All right. So we've got Dyson being the biggest. This is something we've got to continue throughout the season. Okay. Yeah. You got your Dyson suck. That is like, that is the worst of the worst. That is
the creme de la creme.
The creme de la creme of the suck. Right. We are talking like I was going to go down a route there, which is disgusting and probably misogynistic.
What, porn star suck? Is that where you're
going to go? Porn star suck. Yeah, exactly. Janet Jameson. Dyson, that's Dyson, and then you got the
Supreme suction.
You got the Hoover, which is kind of your middle suck.
Yeah,
decent, not bad for the money, but it's no Dyson. Yeah. And then you got the I don't know, turn your fan on backwards. That kind of
yeah, that's right, reverse flow. Or it would be the the little one at my brain's not working.
The devil, the dirt devil.
Yeah, that would be on the other end of the scale. Yeah. Yeah. And then at the same time, I went to go see Trolls, the third Troll movie with my twins and the cousins, and it sucked. It was so bad. Oh. But Justin Timberlake does the music. And so like the music's kind of catchy, but the whole thing is they're trying to look for the perfect family harmony. And then these two pop stars have stolen one of the brothers. And they've encased him in this like diamond prison. And the only thing that can break it is the family working together to find the perfect harmony that will burst him out of there. But all the while, these two pop stars to generate their hits kind of spray the essence of this brother's talent on them. And he becomes almost translucent at the end. So at the same time as we're exploring the spectrum of suck, there'll be John Herdman and the essence of Herdman, perhaps, you know, leaving his body as these guys suck more and more of the essence out of him.
Yeah, like a level coming down. Like he starts up, like he's full of energy up here. It's John.
Yeah.
And then by game number six, the colors drain to his nose.
Yeah.
And then
he's alabaster. He goes alabaster. Then he goes translucent.
Yeah.
Then he goes full, like full invisible. And all you see is his great hair.
That's right.
Exactly. Because he was full of beans, full of energy. At the press conference, maybe he'll switch him. Listen, I'm writing about this a little bit in the Star this week, but you know he's obviously got the CV, men's, women's teams of big issues, big cultural issues, and he turned them around. But the difference was that with women, he had Christian Sinclair in a prime sitting there. He had Dana Matheson. He had Sophie Schmidt, really great world-class women's players. With the men, he had a young Alphonso Davies coming through, Tejan Buchanan, He had a Tebas sitting there as well. There was a real good raw product. At TFC, we don't know what he has at this point because the two world, well, okay, they're not world class. We can't say that at this point. But the two top level players, elite footballers on that team, might not be there by February the 2nd when the window closes. So we don't know what he has. It's a much bigger challenge, I think, because of that. He hasn't got that raw product just yet to elevate this team. Although you can turn MLS teams around quickly, right? Look at Cincinnati. We talked about it last time. It can happen. But I don't know. It's a huge, huge job. But he said all the right things. And he did talk about this buy-in. He said all the players are committed. They've smashed all these fitness records in the preseason. All the things managers say, right? In preseason, everything's great. He can't come out and say, whoa, some of those boys had a fun off season. Put it that way. Boy, the Burner and Insigne, they don't think he can't say that. All you can believe is what he says, and that is they are completely committed at this point. But it's going to be a fascinating few weeks because the rumors are out there, Jimmy. Lots of rumors with Burner and Juve and, well, God knows about Insigne. There's so much money. I don't know how you move that contract, but it's going to be fascinating. So I don't know what we can read into too much from what he said in Monday's press conference, but this will be a preseason to keep a close eye on, put it that way.
This throws me back to when Craig said his dad wasn't worth a bean. And then you just saying John was full of beans. So full of beans.
Yeah, the opposite.
Yeah, I was thinking though, but wasn't full of beans means full of shit in some vernacular?
No.
Oh. It means full of pep, lively.
Oh, okay. Yeah, positivity.
All right.
Like,
sorry.
We are full of beans when this podcast starts.
I can't believe you said that about Herdman. Charmed.
That he's full of energy. Yeah. What a prick. Yeah. He did. I'll tell you what, though. It's interesting when he kind of threw Michael and Bob under the bus a little bit, saying it was a recipe for disaster having a dad and a son in that situation, Jimmy. And he said, speaking to the other players, that it was clearly a problem. And it was never destined to work. Is that something as a former player, if you had a mum, it could be a mum or a son, obviously, but yeah, more likely in football at the moment, a dad and a son, dynamic. Could you see that ever working?
No, I think it's very difficult. I mean, I'm sure there has been some cases where it actually has worked, but as far as I know, no, I don't think it could work. But the other thing is for John to bring that up, he shouldn't have brought it up. For me, it's silly. You're a manager. You know how difficult that job is, and there's no need to talk about a previous manager. You've come in there to do a job. What's happened in the past, you leave it because you never know if you're going to cross paths again. So, like, I think your best bet is just shut up and not talk about the previous manager and their situation.
I did.
You inherited the club, now you move on and think forward. What?
I asked a question. That's what we had to
ask. That was you, Sharon. I was going to ask if it was unprompted, but you asked the question?
No, I just asked him, listen, is no Michael in camp for the first time in years and years and years? And such a big, he was the face, the voice of this franchise for years. How different is the energy and the dynamic? All right. I asked Ozo the same question as well. Mm. And that's why and John gives good answers, right? Give him credit. So I will not criticize the answer, Jimmy, because it's so rare to get honesty from a manager.
Yeah.
So, but I know what you're saying. Yeah.
No, it's good that he was honest with you, but I would have probably dodged that question. Respect the previous manager.
Unless, of course, John, who's very strategic, is now trying to get Manning's gig. So what he does is he puts himself in a position to say, well, I would never have hired them in the first place. You know, and then
that's an angle.
I'm just saying, there's the angle.
That is an angle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It could be. I had a question, sort of shifting gears a little bit, Jimmy, about TFC's training center. And somebody posted on Twitter, I think it was Casey Telford actually, about how current or past players, as iconic or legendary as they were, once their career's done, their official playing career, they get removed from the training center. Why is that?
What do you mean? What do you mean they get removed?
I heard that, you know, like a Michael Bradley photo or poster or something that would have been up at the training center. He's now retired. So if there was an existing, or even a Jimmy Brennan, there is an existing photo of you or poster or something in there that's meant to inspire, it's removed because you're no longer part of the current roster.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It is interesting. What would be the motivation behind that? Why would you do that?
I haven't been there in 12 years, but apparently they've got, I think the all-stars or players that have played in the all-star game are up on the wall.
And you know that because?
Because I've had people, friends that have gone there and they've taken.
No, because you were an all-star, right?
You're an all-star, Jimmy.
I was opening that up for you to talk about yourself, but you didn't take it.
I guess I understand in a way, you know, if you have current players that are up on the wall, and those young players are aspiring to be that next kid that goes into the first team. And when that individual leaves, I can see them taking it down and putting another player up who's actually in that first team that those players can aspire to be. I can see that.
Yeah, there are still pictures there.
No point in having a player that's up there and saying, hey, you can be like this guy. Well, this guy's been retired for 2 years. Doesn't make sense, right?
There are pictures up there of like championships in the past, right? I think when you walk in the main lobby there, I'm pretty sure I remember, like, you know, Canada Cup or Canadian Championship in 2009 or whenever it was up there. Those are there. But maybe the individuals. I guess I can see that to a certain point. I mean, especially with John. Now, John has got his methods, which, you know, a lot of these players are going to experience for the first time. He strikes me as the kind of guy that doesn't look back. Right, it's not about the past. It has to be looking forward, especially this team, right? The scars are there from last season, and this team is still pretty much the exact same group as last season, right? Pretty much, give or take. I think they've made one move so far with the Honduran coming in. He seems pretty interesting. But you can totally see John's methodology being one that, listen, last year's last year. You have to put it behind you. It's all about moving forward now. So you can see some moves in that capacity, I suppose. It's all mental, right, at this point? This point in the preseason, isn't it all mental? Or is it all physical? You tell me. When you come into camp.
Physical.
It is physical. Like, get your fitness levels up or prove that you are fit.
Well, that's where the focus is. It's always a balance. And you have to be mentally ready yourself. You have to be steeling yourself for the challenge, because it's going to be ridiculously tough, and you have to kind of get through it yourself, but then also collectively. But yeah, the focus, I think, is mostly physical.
Okay.
I was also thinking, you know, we're talking about energy suckage, and I'm also thinking, you know, in literature, you can use personification, and shitty locker rooms can have energy suckage too. You know, so a system can have energy suckage. So if Herdman can't break free, like, just because you come in doesn't mean everyone's going to have that energy around them that says, oh, I'm excited to be here, all that. So he has to create that this year right from the start. Hopefully buy-in happens, but he has to maintain that consistency. You talked about consistency, Sharms. For a manager, a coach, anything like that, you have to create that system that doesn't suck the locker room, that doesn't suck energy when people come in. Because a locker room is a magical place. It could either be the best times, you know, whenever you see former players, it's what I miss at 24, my last year playing, or 23, my last year playing, was the camaraderie and the you know, the locker rooms and guys going, how do you play with a body like that? And I'm like, well, I'm not doing steroids.
I'm selling beer next season in the stands. Right. So.
No, but Wonga, you're spot on, because a manager does set the tone, right? Yeah. If a manager comes in and he's positive, he's got some energy, then that plays off onto the players. And if I'm in the dressing room, a manager comes in, he's a bit lively, a little bit of a laugh and gets you going, then it creates a nice little energy. You get out into the pitch, good training session. You finish that training session, you come in, the banter's good and everybody's laughing. But if a manager does come in and you could see he's grumpy, he's a little bit down, you know, that does suck the energy out of it, out of the dressing room as well. Cause then you're looking, going, oh, fucking hell, here we go. And then if you see his body language on the side of the pitch during training and everybody's looking over and going, fuck, what's his problem? You know, it just it zaps the energy in the dress room. So the manager does play a role in how that day's going to go. And it's so important that when they do come in, they've got energy.
So is it more important that the manager has a short memory more so than the players? Because going back to the Leafs, so Leafs lose, was it 4 or 5 straight? Sheldon Keefe goes into the room on Thursday. He could be down like, fuck, these guys can't hold a lead defensively. They're a shambles. God damn. He's got to be in a certain place. The pressure's on my shoulders now. But he can't do that, right? Before the game against Calgary on Thursday, he's got to enter that room and at training, at practice, full of energy, right? And positivity, does he not? No matter how bad it is, doesn't he, Dubs? Or can a manager have that right to come in a little bit with a chip on his shoulder and perhaps not fill the room with effervescence?
I think going back to the managers and the coaches that I've had, I think the ones that got the best response from the group did have that short memory, where there wasn't an atmosphere. If there was a mistake that was made. I remember once playing for Atlanta, we lost a game right at the death. And he essentially blamed me for it. He didn't call me out in front of the team, but he said, a player of your stature, a player of your quality cannot be making that error in the middle of the pitch. I slid over, I stepped, and I should have stayed at home, kind of insulating the back line. And it allowed them to get in behind and they scored. And I was embarrassed and I was furious, but he addressed it with me immediately. And I appreciated that. But then the piece that I didn't like so much is that kind of shrouded our relationship moving forward, that was held against me. And then the best managers that I had is it's addressed and then the slate is wiped clean. And I think that's how you have to proceed. I don't think you pretend that past mistakes don't exist or that a past record or a team performance, that it didn't happen. But I think you approach each game as if it's a chance to make things right again or to just start again. And that sort of beginner's mind, that is, I think it serves players well, but it also serves coaches well.
But that can't always be the case though, right? Must come
can't always
a point where, okay, this player just is not listening.
And the coach must
hold that against that player.
Then there's, you're also gauging the reaction and the response that you're getting from the player. So that this constant dialogue is always happening. So then when Jimmy's talking about the energy, of course that's important, but that's belied by an experience and a trust between player and coach. And that no matter or irrespective of the attitude or energy that the coach brings in or the staff collectively brings in or your star players bring in, that there's that togetherness and then there's that motivation to perform. Mm-hmm. That is still the constant. That's the consistent piece.
Jimmy, at York, so when you were coaching at York, you had, you know, the last season was a good season, but there were some tough times there as well. With the leadership group, when negativity would seep into the room, which I'm sure it would at some point, obviously, you know, you're trying to be positive. Would you bring the leadership group together and say, listen, boys, I understand, you know, where we're at right now, but I sense this creeping and this cancer in the room.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to elevate it. It's up to you boys now.
Yeah, nail it right away. You get a vibe. You get a feeling. You know, you can just sense it when you go into the dressing room. Something's not right, and you have to address it right away because it can go downhill real quick if you let it dwell. So it's the minute you start feeling that bad energy and things aren't right, then that's when you got to address it. Now, I was a type.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts.
Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Coach as well that, you know, when training was going on, you know, Paul Salteri would take training. I'd be walking around. I'm more interested at times, you know, when training is going on to read the body language of players, to see who's off, who's buzzing. You know, you got a few players that are buzzing around, but you'll always catch one or two where, you know, the shoulders are a bit down and, you know, their energy's not there. And then that's where you kind of pull them and say, come here, let's go for a little walk. What's up? What's the matter? This is an issue that's going on. And, you know, I might have an issue with my girlfriend, or maybe there's some things that are happening at home. And then you've got to be able to talk and, you know, relate to them and be very open to find out what the situation is. And then you handle that situation. So if he's got an issue at home and things aren't right, it's okay. Listen, get yourself, go have a shower, go home, go deal with it. We'll see you tomorrow morning. So I was always that guy that was always watching the players, looking at body language, see who was buzzing, who wasn't, and find out what the situation, because if that individual is down and you're not addressing that situation, then what they end up doing is, you know, if they're a little bit negative and things aren't going well, then they'll end up talking to somebody else, another player, and then that can bring that player down. And then all of a sudden it's a snowball effect. Mm-hmm. So you've got to address things right away and always try to keep that energy levels really, really good in the dressing room.
Was there ever a situation, Jimmy, where you pulled a player aside and you saw that his, you know, head was down, whatever, and you said, listen, son, what's going on? And he said, my coach is a cunt.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's you. That was you the reason.
And then I told him, go fuck yourself.
So it's crazy, right? I mean, there's so many dynamics. Wonga, you played obviously college football. That's a big freaking squad of players, right? And you're playing what, once a week?
Once a week for, if you're lucky, we played 10 games, the most we played, but you start in mid-August at two-a-day practices where you're on the football field for 4 hours, 2 in the morning, your whole day is football, and then school starts. So the biggest thing about the locker room for me was you need, everyone's seen as groups, and it's funny the groups that kind of pull together. It's not offense, defense. So as a defensive back, you hang out with other guys your size. So it was running backs, some linebackers if they were cool. And
size? Why size?
Because the big guys, first of all, they're kind of intimidating. They're half of them were like,
you're a defensive back.
Yeah, I'm not a big guy.
No, you just hit big guys though.
And
you
intimidate them. I hit them all the time. I hit them all the time, but it's different. Like you're actually, there's these, like the defensive line and the offensive line kind of hang out. And it was really interesting to see that dynamic to the point where there were fist fights over music. Like it was, some guys said, I am so sick of this Van Halen song, and you'd go turn it off. And then one time, because there was the boom boxes in the corner. So I turned it off one time and one of the big guys goes, Wonger, don't touch that. And then I go, okay, I'm not going to touch it. The next week, one of the other DBs brought in this giant speaker that we put it in what we call DB corner. And then we just overpowered them with hip hop.
I was going to say douchebag corner.
Oh, we were the biggest douchebags. One of the reasons was, I have to be honest, the
Roy big guys,
they scared average sized women. So you'd be at the bar partying and one of these giant men would lean on you. They're 280 pounds. So you don't want this big sweaty man being your wingman because they're scaring people across the board. They're like, they're all former bouncers. These were 26, 27-year-old men that they'd all tried out for CFL teams and were like, hey, I don't know what to do playing. It was ridiculous. And they didn't have any rules about age back then. So you could be like a 32-year-old playing university football still, as long
that
as
is
you
ridiculous.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Remember, Ryerson did a decent, one year I was there at a decent basketball team, not known for sports, Ryerson. Metropolitan University, by the way, now, back in those days. And they there's some guy came out from the States called, I think his name was Alex Beeson, and he'd done time. He had a real dodgy checkered past. I forget what for, but he was just bossing the Canadian basketball scene. I think they got to the final or something. But it's like this guy, not your typical 22-year-old fresh-faced university player. Like, yeah. This guy's doing some shit. Wow. He was terrifying. Hey, look who's here. Should we bring him on?
Yeah. I think we not only bring him on, we should hear from him.
Yeah, I want to hear from him. So JC, yeah. as you know, most of you I mentioned, has been in New York the last number of days, should be home by now. But has fallen victim to what is the Canadian airline industry, JC. Explain the situation and where you're at.
Well, it's actually the Canadian and American airline industry. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hi.
Hey, yeah, guys. Better than Craig. Right now, you're...
Tell That's us where it. You are and what you've been through.
I am at Montreal's Trudeau International Airport, down the street from Dubs.
And yes, Dubs, a short 57 minutes away.
Yes, Dubs. And I want to thank Dubs for letting us stay at her old apartment last night.
Welcome.
Yeah, so that was really great. So we left, we tried to get on our flight yesterday in New York at 11 o'clock. And then just kept getting pushed and pushed because of the weather. It was the first time it had snowed in over 700 days in New York. And then eventually we got canceled and then rerouted to Montreal. And then when we got to Montreal, we were so late that they closed the connecting flight gates in the airport. And so the plane was still sitting there, but they wouldn't let us on. So we went and got a hotel downtown. And now we're back at the airport, hopefully making our way back to Toronto in the next half an hour.
And are you still staying at my place?
Potentially.
Okay. You're still welcome. You're still welcome. Yeah, the keys.
I am.
The keys in the mailbox.
Dan Wong is a gem. Let's let everybody know that the keys are in the mailbox. Thank you, brother.
No problem.
75 Rouge Cattenau Avenue.
So if anybody else is in Toronto at a loose end and would like somewhere to stay, party at Dan Wong's house.
Yep. You just talk about Wonger's loose end? Hmm? What was that?
Oh, no.
Only on the out.
My wizard sleeve.
Only on the out.
Well, JC, we're happy that you're almost back in town. But, man, the airline industry, between you and Wonger, the airline industry not painting itself in glory in recent days. But
no.
Travel safe, mate. And peace. I'm assuming Wonger's on editing duties.
Yeah. Amy's going to have to write the write-up, and I'll do all the editing today. If that's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because I've got a roll, sausage rolls today after this.
Oh, amazing.
All day.
JC, I'm putting you on your mic on mute just so we don't hear your background. And it's not working. Yeah. See?
Let's hear the ambience of the airport, shall we? Just sit back and be quiet. Yeah.
I wonder if you saw Tyson. Did you see Tyson in New York?
Yeah, it was Iron Mike there, JC? He can't hear us now.
He can't hear us now.
Yeah. And there he goes. The soft murmurings of disdain and anger at the airport. You know, the hum of negativity.
Horrible,
lots of energy vampires there. I'll tell you that much. A lot of energy vampires there. Usually yelling at the poor staff at the desk who have no say on what's happening, but they get screamed at. Never understood that. I understand you're angry and it sucks and there's emotion, but the person standing there in the uniform, it's not their fault. So just give them a break.
I agree.
Okay, good. All right. It's 22, so Jimmy's got to go now. We should probably keep it a shorty one today, shall we?
Yeah, we should. If Jimmy's going to, anything you want to say before you leave, Jimmy?
No, I just thank you very much for having me today.
You're more than welcome, Jimmy. Thank you. You played your part. You did.
Really enjoyed it. It was a pleasure.
We're going to do our Footy Prime's best today, but because Craig's not here, I thought we'll just push it off because we need Craig to talk about, you know, best opponent, best teammate, worst teammate, in honor of the FIFA best awards that went out this past week, which I didn't watch. I didn't know much about, actually. I know that Bon Mati won the women's best player, and Messi, surprise, surprise, won the men's. I know Dubs wasn't happy with the 11, the all 11 for the women's Dubs. So it's just a popularity contest, correct?
Yep. It is, and maybe it's.
And what do you mean? Is it popularity or marketing? Like, not
popular, like popular of people and the press, or is it just like basically how many Instagram follows you have that popular? Do you know what I mean?
Like, you think that a player centric vote, so the players are voting for this, right? It's FIFA Pro.
Oh, okay.
So you think that that would solve a lot of these issues with the women's game and popularity contests and how many Instagram followers you have, et cetera, but it doesn't. And it maybe is these players voting for their friends, and maybe a larger issue of how much football are they actually consuming and watching, and how much are their perspectives skewed by the opponents they face all the time. So like the WSL had, I think, 6 out of those 11 spots in the best 11, which is probably not right. It's a yes, it's probably the best league, but I don't think that that representation is accurate if you're doing a best 11.
Before we go, I do want to talk about very quickly this, I forget who sent it on the dark web, but the LA Clippers have released the rules for what they call the wall, this new stadium's arena's row of fans. It's like, you know, Dortmund, you have the yellow wall. It's like that, only it's nothing like that because there's rules in place here. Some of the rules are, what, you cannot cheer for the opposing team. You cannot wear opposing gear. Basically taking all the fun out of sports. Now, at the yellow wall in Dortmund, you wouldn't be cheering for the other team anyway, in fairness, because you'd probably have the shit kicked out of you. But it does kind of just... Do you need rules, is my point? It's North American sports. It's different to
world other than sports. Don't punch the person beside you. Yeah, no, right. You don't. I agree with you.
Yeah, these things cost like 25 to 55K for a season ticket. I don't know why you buy one if you weren't cheering for the team, but when your team's going badly and they're struggling, it's your right to boo and to criticize. But it seems you'll be just you'll be sanctioned for such behavior. Mm. And this isn't the only place that does this, by the way. It's quite commonplace. I think someone wrote, was it Nesca? Someone wrote on about TFC a few weeks back when they first opened BMO Field. There were rules for the upper level. You couldn't chant. Mm. Like, what the hell is that?
Really?
Mm. It was just reserved for the fan sections.
Wow. Shout out to Nesker for his recent memes, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Very, very good. Yeah.
I had a request. I saw an opportunity with Sharm's picture that he put up of the empty TFC meeting or John.
I wasn't criticizing the press. No. For that. It was a calm before the storm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I looked at that picture and I said, hey, Nesker, can you, because I know he has JMO all cut out already, John Molinaro. Because he had to put him in all different situations. So I said, can you give me a little mini Mo and throw him up on the desk? And he did that. And then immediately it turned into Sharms getting thrown in there and having him in your palm of your hand, John Molinaro, right?
Molinaro in the palm of my hand, finally, after all these years.
Yes. So I have to appreciate, you know what I like is our Sunday afternoon. We had some Sunday afternoon banter. We had some Tuesday afternoon banter on Twitter with our supporters group and people who love TFC and people who love footy in Canada. And it's so much fun to interact when it's silly and stupid and inclusive. I mean, JMO floating in your hand at the TFC, it's a fantastic picture. I want a little JMO. I want him. You know when they do those 3D anim, you know, they do those 3D prints? If we could get a JMO and everyone get a little one to put on his desk.
Or a JMO bobblehead. Sharm's had a good line though, because then he said, finally, I've got JMO in a palm of my hand.
Yeah.
Which was a good line.
I also mentioned having watched Gen V, it raises some significant concerns for me. Have you seen Gen V? It's the boys spinoff. You know what I mean?
We're saying bye to Jimmy, but Jimmy, Bristol City beat West Ham before you go.
Well, Jimmy was gone.
They did. Yeah. Go on the Robins.
There you go.
Too bad Craig's not here to rub it in, but you'll have time.
Oh, I've and got a couple of them.
The upcoming one could be Brennan versus Brennan Derby, right?
Ooh, right.
Because I think Bristol City plays the winner, is it, of Blackpool and Nottingham Forest?
Oh, right. The Brennan v. Brennan Derby. That's great.
Yeah. Brennan.
It'd be Mikey versus Jimmy. I pick Mikey.
I'll have both jerseys. I'll just keep swapping them.
We're both. All the time. Yeah.
Whoever's winning.
By the way, back to TFC, I know, you know, a lot of light was made of that end of season press conference, three reporters showed up. Four showed up for this one. See you, Jimmy.
Bye, Jimmy.
Four showed up for this one, and it's a problem. I think there's
Did you get an email? Remember you were talking about there was no email?
This time I did, yeah. There's a real apathy around this team at the moment. And there's a hardcore fan base that are angry and volatile, and they want change right now. And I obviously understand that. And they've got it with the coach. But apart from that, it used to be this place was packed. You know, TFC press conferences, there'd be six, seven, eight cameras. It'd be jammed to the rafters. And to have just four, there's a real, they've got a lot of work to do, put it this way, to get that buzz back. And listen, a few results, a couple of juicy signings will make all the difference. But yeah, if you're running that club right now, there's some obstacles and challenges ahead of you for sure, beyond just what's on the pitch. It's getting that buzz back in this city.
Dubs, when does the CF Montreal season for you start with the new manager there, all that kind of stuff? When is all, are those press conferences already going on? What's going on with CF Montreal?
Yeah, well, they introduced Laurent Courtois, I guess it's a couple weeks
last week?
Ago now.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Okay, I was away.
It
yeah,
feels like
I
ages ago.
I know.
And he was tremendous. And then Joel Waterman and Sam Piette were interviewed yesterday, kind of the first team presser that was coming from Arizona, which is where they are initially for their preseason, and had nothing but positive things to say about Courtois, which I guess is what you expect, right? It's early days yet, but I think he's saying all the right things, and I think the guys are excited about a new voice, new assistants, I think, or new members of staff coming in, because the previous regime and Losada, there were guys here from on contract from Bologna, and I don't think they've been renewed. So I think Courtois might be bringing in his own guys, his own people.
Dubs, when they make a coaching change, obviously usually the staff goes with them, right?
Yep.
In professional football, because usually they're connected, right, at the hip. You know, this is my group I'm bringing aboard. Now, occasionally there's holdovers or lesser staff members who stick around, but there's no way if you clear out the coach, you can really keep the assistants, is there? There's too much of a connection to that failed regime.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty difficult from a messaging standpoint, like what we were talking about off the top here with like what you want to be your consistent piece is that mindset, that mentality, your identity. So if that's shifted, that's changed. And obviously based on last season and how it went, they want that clean slate. So if you still have, you know, stragglers or hangers on clinging to that past regime, it's difficult to get the players on board if like every day you have the visual reminder of that.
And to our listeners, I'd just like to say too that we're going to do more MLS from Vancouver, from Montreal, and from Toronto, more coverage, just because I think it's important. And we're going to get Craig Forrest at some point to really dive deep into the Whitecaps. That's what his job is going to be.
We'll get some Whitecaps and Montreal people on as well. We are going to be doing more. Interviews will return. We've got the site launching, which we keep talking about. It's coming soon. It's on its way.
It's coming. It is.
Exciting week, in fact, wasn't it, on there for us?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got some updates to give everybody. But yeah, we're excited about what this new year brings and how we're going to lay out content and how we're going to deliver it and all the opportunities that we have put ourselves in the middle of, which is kind of what we wanted when we started this four and a bit years ago, Sharms. But it's crazy that we're almost going on our 500th show.
That's nuts.
It's nuts.
It really is. And we've
what
stuck around.
What the fuck?
We're prolific.
Thank you. That's prolific. A great word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know. I was trying to think of vacuum segue there. Vacuum.
A suckage?
Like, hey, just before knit it all together, you know, the show.
But before we jump, there was a couple of different things I wanted to talk about. First, I know that people like to get a little updates on my life. So remember when I was, when the cab driver stole my PIN number and stole $1,600 out of my account? I spoke to CIBC yesterday. They returned all of the money and the interest.
Wow.
I am. So thank
Shout
you,
out CIBC.
CIBC and your fraud department and the guy who went, he literally went and bought groceries at Metro, I've got the whole list. It's hilarious.
He's feeding his family, for Christ's sakes.
$950 out. Hey, what am I?
You know what he bought?
Les Miserables?
Is it? $950. He spent $950 on groceries?
No, no. He went to four different metro right. grocery stores, spent money at all of them because he didn't know which one would accept the card, right?
Oh, I see.
You don't want, but at one point he blew his load and did $950 out of my going back to suckage. $950 right out of my account. And that's when they went, hey, this isn't this guy's normal approach to banking. So yeah, so CIBC returned all the money plus interest. And we, you know, we were talking about the Honduras guy coming on, Sharms. What was interesting about that, it made me remember that when you and I were watching a Honduras-Canada game, there was a guy who had shaved his head and he had a really weird lines on the top of his head. It looked like the brain of his head on the outside.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
So I was feeling like,
you can see his medulla oblongata.
Yeah, exactly. And
it was wasn't like a David Flores, head. I don't think.
It was like a brain head. But the thing about it was I was feeling my head the other day. And I'm like, thank God I'm not going bald like Craig. Because Craig has a perfect head.
He's like a perfect bald head.
Perfect bald head. I've got like a line. It's like a pit bull, like too much skin, too much fur. Like people could grab it. And
when
I'm
you
like,
lose weight quickly, there's the skin, right? And your fat head is not as fat as it once was. So you've got loose skin.
I'm sure there's like a niche population where that's like super hot and is like a fetish.
But the deeper the crevice, the hotter it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Except hey, they call JC's, it a crevasse.
JC's back. JC's back.
Hey!
He's on the plane now.
So he's on the plane.
JC's on the plane.
You have last words, JC. You have last words.
Well, hopefully they're not my last words. But.
Why can't you wear? Hey,
hey, Mel.
It is Mel.
Are you guys hungover?
Well, I went to the bar as soon as we got downtown last night at about midnight. So good.
Good for you. Why can't you have blankets on your lap when you take off on a plane?
You can't.
No, I don't think so.
Well, probably they don't want people touching themselves. So.
Oh, is that what it is?
The on takeoff.
Okay. Back to the suckage.
They don't want to double taking off.
And you can't have your headphones in either, right? Because it's so important. Those are, you know, if we are descending to the ground at 3,000 kilometers per hour, this is what you do.
Yeah, these are good things to say to someone who's about to take off.
Hey, there's a guy there with a Little Rascals cap on behind you.
Hey, say hi to him. Maybe he knows
who
we are.
He's got a Peaky Blinders. He's got a Peaky Blinders cap.
Can you ask him, hey, do you know who Foodie Prime the podcast is?
Have a good day.
See you, JC. Don't crash.
I want to say just one thing before we go. We were talking about the JMO memes, and maybe Nesker can put this one together. Maybe like a little mini JMO watching AFCON. Because then remember, JC made the bet. It was Egypt against Mozambique, because then it would be JMO watching Momo. No?
Yeah. Listen, I give you a lot of props for trying something new.
Yeah, thank you.
They don't always work. When you throw the spaghetti at the wall, it doesn't always work.
We don't rehearse and we don't plan.
We don't.
Everything is riffing in this show. And in fact, this was a great show. I really enjoyed this show because it went in a very different direction to the actual rundown, which is good because Craig wasn't here. And as I mentioned, Footy Prime's best awards. We need to have Craig there for sure.
Right. And we're going to, sorry, Sharms, so we're going to have Craig in and out for the next 10 days. We're not sure of his schedule. Well, we're going back to the porn.
That is stamina.
The porn. Yes.
That'll be found on our OnlyFans page.
10 days.
Wow.
At some point, Craig, it's too much, isn't it?
It's popsicle sticks.
Yeah, it is.
It's popsicle sticks.
I've got shit to do for us. Just finish. Come on.
Popsicle sticks and the word soft on are very popular at Craig's house now.
Yes, we'll have Craig on, though. In and out.
That was it.
Yeah, good. TonyBet.ca, where we're going to wager some of our hard-earned ducats later this week, of course, on footy picks coming to your listening on Friday.
How's our TonyBet account doing? Do you remember?
Well, we won $88, right, when you were away. So are we up or
down?
Oh, no, we're up. We're up over $600 from 500.
Shit. That's pretty good.
So actually, as much as we joke around, we're not that bad. No. Okay, we are, but we're not that.
That's a 20. If you said a 20% growth in a mutual fund year over year, you'd be very happy. We're at 20% over.
Yeah, so, mainly because of the supporters club.
Still, that's our all of our brains.
They're consistent. Yeah. We are
they
not.
Are, they are consistent.
But we did hit big.
Still watching JC's. JC's still here with us, by the way. Those who can't see, he's still in the plane, showing us all around. Probably breaking a ton of privacy laws. This is probably highly illegal.
Exactly.
Ooh, he's got a screen in the back of his seat. Ooh, posh one, eh? That's no flare. He's not flying flare today, apparently.
That might be Pitbull behind him, actually.
Is it Pitbull?
I just saw Pitbull.
The singer?
You know what?
The singer?
That fucking suitcase is too big for up there. Check your baggage. Some people just take advantage, don't they? Mm-hmm. They take advantage. It's all very well, you know, on a short trip, taking your baggage onto the plane for the above hold all. But some people just take the piss, right? And it's too big, just check your baggage. It makes life much easier. And quite honestly, you don't want to pay the fee. I get that. But if you just bring it to the departure lounge, there will be an announcement saying, we're at full capacity. If you want to check your baggage for free, please bring it to the front right now. Take advantage of that. Do it.
I'm sorry. I just have to say, I love Sharms, but I think his alter ego is Andy Bitterman. Like there's always something sharp. I'm like,
am I an energy vampire?
There's some guy putting his carry on that fits. It's totally fits, and you're giving him the shit.
Look at the size of that one.
See,
that's not fucking fitting anywhere.
That's also a porn. That's you hear that in porn too.
The size of that bag. Jesus, it's full of Wonger's mail sack. That's full of that. Wow.
Monger's whale sack.
Monger's whale sack.
That bag's going to be in and out over the next 10 days.
If your bag's going in, there's some big issues to talk about here.
That's right. Cavernous.
Down the hallway. Yeah. All right. FuboTV.com. FuboTV.com/footyprime. Make sure you watch and sign up and subscribe. We're out of time. JC, if this is the last time we see you, we love you. And I will feel very, very bad if you do crash, having made light of that on this podcast. Dubs, Wonger, Jimmy, thank you so much. Craig, wherever you are, somewhere in Winnipeg, probably still. Enjoy yourself, but enjoy Palm Springs. And now we're back on Friday.
Perfect.
For the sexy sex. Is Craig back for that? Or should we get a guest on?
Well, I'll holler at him.
Let's find out, right? Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. All right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that. Keep buying newspapers. Cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by FuboTV and by Tony Bennett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG.
Great show, guys.
Here we go. That was good.
That's it.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.